Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. It's good to be back with you. Certainly appreciate Grant and Andy preaching the last two Sundays while Debbie and I were away. Andy for taking the Bible class. We've been fortunate enough to participate in two good gospel meetings. Lessons were very well received, and it's good to be with those good brethren as we're all coming out of the fog of last year and the pandemic and so forth. Everybody's ready for that. And Debbie and I enjoyed several days, about 4 or 5 days, I guess, in Wyoming and the Grand Tetons and the Yellowstone area. We enjoyed that. That's not enough time. I'll just tell you, if you're thinking about taking a trip out there to see Yellowstone in that area, you want at least 2 weeks, even if you fly. And if you can take a month, you'd enjoy it, but if you can afford it. But it was very good, and I highly recommend it. But we are glad to be home and to be with you all. I want to begin this morning in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 38, a very familiar passage. It says, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. So this isn't a sincere question. This is a question to try to trap Jesus, as, you know, lawyers like to change the wording of things all the time, and definitions and stuff like that. But he says, saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, the narrative, of course, goes on from there, and he asks, well, who is my neighbor, and all of that kind of stuff. We're not going to go into that part of it, but I do want to focus upon what Jesus affirms here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Very similar to that, we find in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and you might say in contrast, where we're told, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. If we do the will of God, we will be loving the Lord our God. So there is an attraction, I guess you might say. You have a choice. Who are you going to love? What are you going to love? Are you going to love God, or are you going to love the world? Are you going to love the things of God, or are you going to love the attractions of the world? It's your choice. We choose what we love. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, choosing to love God. If we back up here in 1 John chapter 2 to the verses preceding verse 15 through 17, you'll find that John says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong in the word, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. As classified here by John, these different categories, young men, children, and I don't know if he's speaking to children per se, but children of God, they have known the Father. They've made a choice. In contrast to what he's going to say, now, you've made this choice to love God. Don't fall back and love the world and the things that are in the world. Do Christians have a problem with that? I have a problem with that. I think every Christian I know has a problem with that. Much of the New Testament is written to Christians warning them, don't go back. Be faithful. Choose to love God and remain faithful to God. And notice again as we come back over here to our passage in Matthew that Jesus here says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, if all my heart, soul, and mind are dedicated to God and the things of God, I've set my heart on things above and not on things on the earth, then I don't have time to think about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, do I? Choose to love God. The world, of course, competes with our love for God. John was aware of that. That's why he warns us about it. But God has always warned us about that. You go back to the book of Proverbs, where you find that the writer of Proverbs here personifies wisdom and the way of God and sin and the way of the world. He says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. You see, if I love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, and mind, I'll love his word. That's why he says, treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. And the law and my law as an apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. God says, listen to my words. Treasured fellowship with my words. Do not listen to, quote unquote, the immoral woman, the one who will seduce you to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This isn't an actual woman, but this is wickedness personified as a prostitute. I punched the wrong button. There we go. The seductress who flatters with her words. Verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, ones who didn't know and didn't understand, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of the night. Have you ever noticed that's when bad things happen? That's when unrighteousness happens. We usually don't want to sin in the bright, open light. we'd rather anybody not know that we're doing it. So we do it in the shadows. We do it in the twilight. Not a whole lot of light. We do it in the darkness, the black of the night. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. You get an arrow to your liver, you're going to die. It's a rather lengthy death, but you're going to die. It's an agonizing, painful death, but it's death. And that's what he's showing here. You listen to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, you're enticed by those things, the pride of life. You're going to enter into misery and suffering and pain and separation from God. With her enticing speech, with her flattering lips, she doesn't say, look, this is going to kill you, but come and do this. You wouldn't go, would you? No. She'll make it sound like it's okay. It's what everybody else is doing. Verse 24 goes on to say, now therefore, listen to me, wisdom says, my children, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Don't listen to the seductress, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Listen to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Flattering speech, enticing lips. Where does it end up? In hell, separated from God for all eternity. So there's a warning here. It's that worldliness is not a lover. Worldliness is a predator. Worldliness is a destroyer of souls. Don't go that way. We're all enticed by it, but we've been enlightened by the truth of God's word. A choice is set before us. Don't go that way. Come and follow me, Jesus says. How do we do that? Well, I submit to you that we should activate four barriers. Proverbs 4 in verses 23 through 26 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. What you put into your heart is what you practice in your life. So examine carefully what you're putting into your life. Is it that you are attracted to spiritually, or is it that you are attracted to of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Does it appeal to the carnal nature, or does it appeal to the divine nature? Is it pure? Is it holy? Does it glorify God? Or is it just something that you want to participate in, maybe because you're curious about it? Maybe it's because there's a desire to practice it. But let your desire for glorifying God overwhelm your desire to gratify your passion. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. He's not talking about your lips. He's talking about that woman again, the seductress, the one who says, come and sin with us. Put those people away from you. Don't listen to them. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. The picture comes to mind of a horse with blinders on. Have you ever seen that? A horse that has blinders on? Some horses have blinders and some horses don't have blinders. Why is that? Some horses are more easily distracted than other horses. And so if they put blinders on, they can only look straight ahead. And the distractions that might come up from the right or the left, they're not bothered by them. God is telling us here that one of the barriers we need to put up is this commitment to always look straight ahead. That's what God told Joshua. Don't look to the right, don't look to the left. You just continue in the Word of God, just as it's been given to you. That's what we need to do. Don't get distracted by the appeals of the world and the carnal nature. Lyrics of songs that you listen to that have worldliness in them. Television programs, movies that appeal to the carnal nature rather than the divine nature. Don't get caught up in that. You set your heart on looking straight ahead to God and an eternity with Him in His glory. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Consider where you're going, what you're doing. You know, every once in a while you'll be someplace where you realize, and Debbie and I were there, you know, when we were around the Grand Tetons and all the beautiful scenery all around, you have a tendency to just get caught up in the scenery and just go walking along. Wow, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. But at the same time, the paths that you might be walking on, there's roots and rocks and all kinds of things. And so I made a point to tell myself and to tell Debbie and Tom and Kate that were with us, I said, be sure that when you're moving, look where your feet are going. And take a few steps and then stop and then look up and look around and then take a few steps. Because if you don't, you've got a very good chance of stumbling and falling and getting hurt and possibly even dying in some of those places. Ponder the path of your feet. Where are you going? How are you living? Are you on the straight and narrow way that leads to life that God wants you to be on? Or are you on the broad way that leads to destruction that many are going thereat? Sometimes we try to justify our practicing of the desires of the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life by saying, well, everybody else is doing it. You might not want to be doing what everybody else is doing when you consider that many travel the broad way that leads to destruction. You don't want to be on that way. You want to be on the straight and narrow way that leads to life. Seek out those who are faithful. Don't listen to perverse lips who are going to entice you and encourage you to join with them in the practice of sin. Listen to those who love God, love you, love righteousness, and encourage you to practice righteousness. Proverbs 25 and verse 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot out of joint. You ever had a bad tooth? I had a bad tooth and didn't even know it. I went and got a crown last year. And when they put that crown on, my upper jaw on this side, it was just tender all the time. I just got to where, you know, I thought, well, it'll get better. And I finally got kind of used to it, and I just didn't chew on that side anymore. And so, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, I don't know, some time ago, we were going up to Ohio for a gospel meeting, pulled into a, fast food place, eating a hamburger, and all of a sudden that crown falls off in the back of my tongue. Well, that's interesting. But instantly, no pain on that side. Well, this is better. Maybe I don't want that on there. But I came back and we got it glued back on. And then, just before we left to go out to Idaho for that meeting, like it was Sunday after church, wasn't it? It's eating. Tongue feels something different back there. And the molar next to that one where that crown was, part of it was gone. So I called into the dentist's office. Of course, nobody was there. And I left a message. I told him what was going on. Told him I had to leave town on Tuesday. And I need to do something. If they couldn't do it, let me know. And I tried to find somebody else that could do it. And thankfully, within an hour or so, they called back. They listened to the message and said, we'll get you in tomorrow. I said, okay. So it turns out, that tooth needed to have a crown put on it too. They didn't say that, but what I believe happened was that the pressure of that other crown on the tooth in front of it had worked on it, worked on it, worked on it, and cracked it. And so that's what led to that. But needless to say, during that whole time, that's not an area that you really, you know, when you've got a bad spot in your mouth, you don't want to bite down on it. If you've got a foot out of joint, if your ankle is bad, Tracy, ask Tracy. You don't want to put your weight on it. You don't want to stand on that, do you? So I can't. It's painful. Wouldn't it be great if when the unfaithful man, when those who have perverse lips, when those who entice us to sin, wouldn't it be great if it was painful to us to hear that enticement? And you know, it can be. It can be. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, then the way of sin, and even hearing about the way of sin, is painful to you. It says of Noah that he vexed his righteous soul with the conduct of those that were around him. It vexed his soul. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6 says it this way, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, if we are wrong, we would rather somebody come to us privately and tell us where we're wrong and point us in the path of righteousness. But if it's necessary for them to openly rebuke us because we're not listening to the private conversation, it's better. It's better than to have the kisses of an enemy. Someone who's enticing us to join them in sin. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says this, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. The fools will be destroyed, and if you're a companion of fools, you'll be destroyed with them. Your choice. Are you going to walk with those who walk in the wisdom of God's revelation, or are you going to walk in the foolishness of the world, of what seems right, what feels right, what you think is right, rather than what God has revealed to be right? Proverbs 14 and verse 7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive him, in him, the lips of knowledge." Someone entice you to sin with them, just walk away. Just walk away. "But they're my friend." Just walk away. "But they're my family member." Walk away. Jesus said, there's going to be division. You're going to have to make choices. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to follow me wholeheartedly. Sometimes your family, sometimes your friends, society in general, is going to speak bad of you, but you've got to make a choice. Choose to love God. Choose to save your soul. Avoid associations with the worldly then. Proverbs 24 in the first two verses says, "Do not be envious of evil men." Sometimes the attraction to do evil is because we see people performing evil and it seems like they're successful or popular or wealthy or whatever, and that appeals to us. Do not be envious of evil men. If it's evil, don't practice it. "Nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking." Trouble with God. Violence with God. So what's it going to be? Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to stay with the young men who have overcome the wicked? The children of God who have known the fathers, the Heavenly Father, the fathers who have known Him, who is from the beginning. They're sure who God is. They're sure God's Word is true. Young men who are strong, the Word of God abides in them. They have overcome the wicked one. Stay true to that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Don't listen to the enticements of the world. Don't love the world and the things that are in the world. Because the world is passing away and the lust of it. There will be no love for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life in hell. Because it won't be there. The flesh won't be there. He who does the will of God abides forever. What's it going to be for you? In Matthew 11 and verses 28, it says, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here's the choice. You can go to the personification of wickedness, follow what her enticements, or you can accept the invitation of Christ. "Come to me. I will give you rest." Isaiah 41 and verse 13 says, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you." Sometimes as we make that choice to step out and to accept the invitation of Christ to come to Him, sometimes we're afraid. We say, "I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can be faithful. I don't know if I can glorify God. I've lived in sin for so long. I'm so used to it. I don't know if I can change." God says, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm Almighty God. I can do anything. And if I'm with you, you can do anything. You just love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And everything's going to be fine. I will help you." Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? the Savior of mankind. If you do, and if your belief is such that you are ready to turn to Him and turn from yourself, Jesus said, except you repent, turn around, you will perish. He doesn't want you to perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will you turn to Him? Turn from yourself? Turn from your ways? Turn from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? To walk in life with Him. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. Will you make that confession today and continue to live that profession throughout your life? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Those on the day of Pentecost were convicted that Jesus of Nazareth was both Lord and Christ, and they asked, what shall we do? And the divine answer that was given to Peter to tell them was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Ananias reasoned with Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, appealing to the authority of our Lord Jesus. And Jesus said to those who believed on him, abide, continue to abide in my word, and you will be my true disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth and the love for the truth will make you free from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It'll make you free from the passions of the carnal nature. And it'll set you on a pathway of righteousness and a love for the divine nature. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?